The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning, DMV. We're almost in April. How about that? Are you ready for April showers? Well, if you missed any of our shows, look us up on Spotify or iHeartRadio. That's Pointing You Home on Spotify or iHeartRadio. If you're on your computer, all you have to do is Google Eric Stewart Group Radio right now to listen to us anytime you want. Westwood Shopping Center. Those of you who live in Bethesda, Maryland, who grew up going to Farrell's Ice Cream Shop, in the Westwood Shopping Center, like myself. I never did eat the pig trough. If you remember, it was 26 scoops of ice cream, and if you could complete the entirety of it, it was free. Farrell's was there back in the 1970s and early 1980s, and it's a wonderful shopping center, very, very conveniently located to, and essentially, if you know where Kenwood is on River Road or the Whole Foods on River Road in Bethesda, across the street, and about two blocks away is the Westwood Shopping Center. Now, Regency Centers is going to add 500 residences and 205,000 square feet of retail and restaurant space at that shopping center on West Bard Avenue. And this was 3 years of heated debate and opposition to the development of the area, primarily because of the traffic that it would bring in. I think that's ultimately where the homeowners in the area saw a real problem. Now, there's going to be a park, a giant supermarket, and a five-story apartment building with, again, ground floor retail, underground parking, with later phases of the project, including 210 apartments, 34 townhouses, as well as about 34,000 square feet of commercial space. Developers have declined to provide a cost estimate for the overall project, but this is going to be a big development, and it's going to bring about 1,600 cars and trucks going down the block right now. So add to that additional, who knows, 1,000 more trucks a day and cars, potentially. Jack Sobel, who's the president of the Little Falls Watershed Alliance, said that the county needs to do more to reduce stormwater runoff and make sure rainwater is quickly absorbed in the soil. Right. If you pave Paradise and you put up a parking lot, don't be surprised that the water's going to run off and erode the stream beds nearby unless we do a good job of protecting that. You know, it's been 30 years since I signed up for the Sierra Club. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about myself and why I'm even bringing this up, because I think development is important. We have to be an area that allows for development but also keeps our environment carefully guarded. The combination of the two, it's like the cowman and the plowman. It's like, you've got different kinds of folks who do different kinds of things. We need to work together to protect our environment. So I became a life member of Sierra Club 30 years ago, and I don't agree with everything the Sierra Club stands for. That's okay. But I do believe that protecting our environment is important. The Chew. Have you heard about this? Seven of the best trails to walk your dog right in our area. There's an article, ArlNow.com, that's Arlington Now, produced this information. If you've never been, here are some ideas. Theodore Roosevelt Island, the weather's changing. We've got the cherry blossoms coming pretty soon. Theodore Roosevelt Island is an island that's just off the coast of the George Washington Parkway near where Key Bridge is, if you're familiar. And it's a 2.5-mile low-intensity trail set with a giant statue of Theodore Roosevelt in the middle of the island. Now, do you know the story behind that? Well, it's true. Theodore Roosevelt, he was one of the founders of our national park system. And as a result, the monument that was chosen to represent and actually recognize Theodore Roosevelt, rather than a monument like the Washington Monument or the Jefferson Memorial, he was given an island with a giant statue and some nice fountains right there. If your dog's adventurous, water-loving, canoeing, kayaking is also available. Check it out. A lot of fun. Scott's Run Nature Preserve, which is right off of 7400 Georgetown Pike in McLean. Over 300 acres of trails leading to scenic spots like Scott's Run Waterfall, Washington and Old Dominion Trail in Ashburn, Virginia. Fantastic. 65 miles of trails. You can ride your bike from Alexandria all the way out to Ashburn. These are mostly paved or gravel, making them pretty easy for beginners. Of course, you can't miss Great Falls in McLean with 15 miles of trails, great for wider multi-use paths, so your dog might be uncomfortable around bikes or horses. If that's the case, you want to find a wider trail someplace other than Great Falls so the dog does not get spooked. Rock Creek Park, right off Glover Road, 32 miles of trails. Catoctin Mountain Park, which is up in Thurmont, 25 miles of trails. It's very close to Camp David and some beautiful waterfalls up in that area. And lest we forget, our wonderful Shenandoah National Park in Luray, Virginia. Check all of these out at arlnow.com for more information.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They definitely
local startups, what are they thinking about Amazon's imminent arrival? So this company is, again, planning this gradual buildup of its presence in Arlington, Virginia. So what is going to be the impact on housing prices? There's already been an increase in housing prices in the Arlington, Alexandria, Crystal City area that's called National Landing and close to that by virtue of speculators coming in and taking positions. By the way, just as an aside, if you were a speculator in New York, you speculated, and unfortunately, your speculation didn't work out. It was a little cloudy. The word speculate comes from the root spec, which is to see in the Latin. So when you speculate, you think you can see the future, and you try to bet on that future. Well, if you speculate in Arlington, I bet it's probably going to be a pretty good chance you will end up doing well over the long term. Real estate is not easy to get in and out of. It's got a lot of friction involved in the whole transaction, unlike a stock or a managed future or otherwise. So with Amazon coming, Commonwealth Joe Coffee Roasters, they're based right in Arlington, and Chase Damiano, who's the COO, is particularly excited about having chosen Pentagon City for the company's flagship location. They've got a cafe at 520 12th Street, South, and it's going to be right across the street from Amazon's future Pentagon City campus. So a guy like this, really, really excited for what's going to happen. Also, Jean-Jacques Bourneau, who's the founder of Crystal City-based financial planning app startup 1787 FP, thinks Amazon will be a net plus for his company. Well, I think we're all a little excited to see what will happen. When it's all done, it's going to be a beautiful location.
Makes his living off of the
Hey, Marion Bowser, current mayor of Washington, D.C., is proposing a commercial tax increase to pay for affordable housing. I talked about this on the show previously. Essentially, putting on the backs of commercial property owners the cost of providing affordable housing. Now, how you actually provide affordable housing or you don't is, it can be found many different ways, okay? The mayor wants to add $5 million to a separate $10 million fund to rehabilitate and preserve existing subsidized housing. And so she's looking to pay for that on the back of commercial developers. Well, okay, all right. Commercial developers are essentially developers who buy a piece of property. They may sit on it for years and years and years, carry the taxes, carry the cost, and ultimately, in a business sense, you're just taxing a commercial developer, which makes the price that they're able to pay for a property something less if they're on the skirts. If you've got a big company with lots of money, maybe that's going to work out just fine. But I think the district has got to be careful. The district is going to see almost no revenue growth this fiscal year because the economy in the Washington, D.C. economy has been cooling some. And the 35-day partial government shutdown cost the city about $47 million in lost revenue. So I would agree. Bowser said that, you know, the city is not financially tsunami-proof, but I'm firmly a believer that you need to cut programs that that are not actually serving the community so that you can pay for programs that will really serve the community. I'm a believer that if you work, you eat. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's the true nature of life. And if we don't teach our citizens that that's the way they need to lead their lives by essentially providing opportunities for them to receive something for nothing, we'll simply impoverish the culture and we'll create a tsunami of debt for the future that our children and grandchildren will have to pay off.
If I had $1 million...
If you've ever tried that pricing strategy, you've heard me talk about that. I call it the fulcrum number. So look, you want to ask $9.99 or you want to ask $1 million. If you're looking at a price, this is something I've been talking about for a decade, okay? You price something at $9.99, you're going to get every buyer looking up to $1 million. You price it at $1 million, you're going to get every buyer looking from up to $1 million and from $1 million up. Because remember, if you go online, you search based on price ranges. If you want to be found, price yourself on the round number. If the market's really, really, really slow because there's an overwhelming supply and you're competing against 15 other properties, you price yourself based upon what you specifically have against what is specifically competing with you. Right now, inventory is still quite low. Hey, just sold a house that we have listed for $975,000 without multiple offers before it went on the open market for $990,000. We got all the terms we wanted, above asking price with one offer on the table, and the seller's saved commission. I'll tell you about that when we get back.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
So you want to get top dollar for your property, but you also want to save money. Who doesn't want the best of all worlds? Okay, so we created an approach at our team that we call the quiet listing, something that I created out of nothing years ago, and I use it very, very well. Other agents are now kind of catching on to the idea, but they don't have the systems in place that I've had for years, so they're not able to accomplish what we are in our numbers. Just as a reminder to our listeners, you hear other agents advertising on the station saying they get more. You got companies that say we charge less and we get more. This is all a generality. It's not actually against me, for instance. In other words, I get more at the end of the day than like Kerry Scholl or the Reynolds team. I sell my houses for more money for my sellers. I sell them faster. And ultimately, when it comes to selling your property, that's what you want, right? So you want to be able to sell your property for the most amount of money. But what if you could not ever actually get on the market and still get a phenomenal sale price, like completely above expectations? Would you not be thrilled? So what we do is we have created a system for how we share information about our listings, and this isn't good for every one of our sellers. Not everybody wants to take advantage of the opportunity, but bear with this in mind. Your house is marketed before it actually comes up on the open market for somebody who will pay you above market pricing for the property. We charge a lower commission because we haven't done the marketing yet, and we wouldn't want you to pay us for what we haven't done yet. That wouldn't be fair to you. So you end up paying less and getting more. In this situation, we ended up putting a property on the market for $975 through our quiet listing approach. And this is, again, a system that we've created that is specific to us, is completely different than any other broker. And the channels that we have are so developed that it blows the competition away, our abilities. So we ended up selling a property for over list price by $15,000 with just one offer. And guess what? That was $15,000 higher than the highest potential list price for that property was going to be on the open market. So we not only did we get a win, a home run, but we got a grand slam with all the time that our client needs, plus rent back if they need it, optional rent back. So great idea. Want to find out more about that? You might be in a house where you will never actually prepare the home to sell, and you may feel stuck, unable to move forward in life because the house owns you more than you own it physically. You can't really do what's necessary to try to get top dollar. And maybe you feel guilty about that and you feel like, I can't do what I got to do and I really don't want to leave money on the table. I don't know how to deal with this. We're great at all kinds of home sales. If you're in that situation, you can give us a call. We'll give you a market evaluation and a plan tailored to help you accomplish your sale, even if you never go on the open market. Call us today, 800-900-9104. That's 800-900-9104. Or go to ericstewartgroup.com. Hey, Florida homeowners are no longer going to be blindsided by insurance companies. Here's the story. We had a hurricane. You may recall Hurricane Michael. My parents, who are in Naples, Florida, had the top of their building blown off, and they had to get a whole new roof set up. There was damage to a variety of the apartments on the inside of the building because of Hurricane Michael. Fortunately, Naples was not hit by a massive storm surge, which had been predicted. But imagine you live and you have homeowners insurance, only to find that the homeowners insurance policy you have doesn't cover against hurricane damage. Well, you only have one person to blame for this problem, and it's not the insurance company, okay? It's you for not asking the questions and making sure that you take responsibility for your property and ask. But Florida has made it clearer for potential homeowners whether or not there is insurance for hurricanes on property. So they're emboldening whether it does or it doesn't, so that homeowners who are not necessarily paying attention the way that they ought to will have a better chance of noticing it and buying the additional protection as needed. Hey, if you're over 60 years of age and you're buying your first house, here's some things you need to know, okay? Think about it. Let's say you're 61 years of age, 62 years of age, and perhaps you're single, you want to buy something cash, you're not going to need a mortgage. So perhaps you're fearful that you're too old to buy a house at 61. Why would I buy a house now? Maybe I just should stay renting. So here are some things you should be thinking about. Number one, I don't think a person is ever too old to buy a house or to live on their own, so long as your physical body will allow you to do that. There comes a point in time where you might say, and it's certainly between 82 and 85 years of age, the average person starts to face challenges physically. That's when mobility issues really come to the forefront in most folks' lives. But if you're maintaining your life well, and you might want to stay in an owned piece of real estate for as long as you possibly can. You know, I'm a big proponent of not selling your house and aging in place if it's possible, to figure out how you can age in place well. And a quick reminder, we have our seniors roundtables, which are held in Maryland and in Virginia, where you can sit in a kind of a panel-like format led by Helen Flynn, who you'll hear on the radio in the Senior Solutions Show after our half-hour break here. She'll lead the conversation, discuss questions, how you can approach this, and take you through an education. Really good, very helpful to know what your options are from someone whose vested interest is in your best interest. So think about the expenses, the costs of owning a house, and then just the transaction costs of buying and selling. I really think buying a house at 61 makes a lot of sense, because if you're going to live in it for 15 years till you're like 75, 76 years of age, and then you think, okay, at that point in my life, I'm either going to want to be in a continuing care retirement community, or I'm going to want to live with my kids, or I'm going to move someplace. Do not belittle your age and disqualify yourself from the investment side of owning real estate. Okay? Same questions come up over and over and over and over. If you were younger and you weren't comfortable owning and you felt more comfortable just having the freedom to go anywhere, and now you finally gotten to the point where you realize, no, you know what? This is where I want to live for the next 15 years. Lock in the security, especially with the interest rates where they are right now. Lock in that security. You also can keep that property, use that property as a means of income later in your life if you decide to move out. You could just turn it into a rental property and rent it out as you're living your life while you're renting, therefore having consistent income through that property. Hey, I want to highlight one of our listings at 12 Redbud Court in Potomac, Maryland for $1.4 million. This property has over $2 million. The owner of the home decided to buy a lot that backs up to power lines. Okay, now this is before we ever were involved in the transaction. And unfortunately, there's usually, if you're backing right up to high tension power lines or the pole is right behind your house, you'll see about a 7 or 8% adjustment in the sale price of your property against your competition, sometimes more. But there's a further issue here, which presents an opportunity for a buyer to get a great buy. The home is surrounded by smaller houses. So the theory of regression has applied to this very large manse at 12 Redbud Court. You can see pictures, by the way, at ericstewartgroup.com. And the price, the seller has invested almost $2 million into a home that's listed for $1.4 million. So if you don't care about power lines, but you know you get a lot of privacy behind the property, and you don't care that the houses around you have not been rebuilt like this one has quite yet, and it will come, it will come. So if you buy this with a 15-year horizon, you will see a good return on your investment, in my opinion. Check it out at 12 Redbud Court. Coming up soon, 3133rd Place, Northwest Washington, D.C., right by the National Cathedral for $2.5 million. Also, 6718 Melody Lane in Bethesda in the Whitman School District. Beautiful single-family home, large house for $1,500,000. Check that out. 8700 Fallen Oak Drive in Bethesda for $1.7 million. We've got a property at Virginia Avenue Northwest. We've got a couple at the Watergate and several coming up in Virginia as well. So if you're interested, looking to buy, want to sell, go ahead and check us out at ericstewartgroup.com for pictures on all of these properties and so much more. Well, that's it for Pointing You Home today. If you've ever wondered how to give your home to your adult child tax-free, then stick with me for Senior Solutions straight ahead.
The Eric Stewart Show, Pointing You Home on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.